Capital Public Radio in Sacramento. This is Insight. I'm Beth Ruriak. For many of you, the 4th of July holiday weekend has begun or begins later today. Not quite yet, though, for folks at the state capitol in Sacramento. There's that packet of gun bills and a list of ballot measures that have finish lines to cross. So let's get right to the action. Our Capitol Bureau Chief Ben Adler is monitoring hearings. He joins us now for this week's Capitol Chat. Hi, Ben.
Good morning, Beth.
So 1 week ago, we talked about this group of 11 gun-related bills. Today, I guess both houses of the legislature will deal with them and perhaps pass them?
Yeah, and now it's up to a dozen. I'm not sure which the 12th is, but the bills are wide-ranging in the gun control debate, dealing with everything from limiting the purchase of one gun per person per month to very tough new ammunition regulations, to bans on large capacity magazines, and so much more, an expansion of gun violence restraining orders. So these measures, some of them are in the Senate, some are in the Assembly. They're going to pass those houses, then they're going to swap, go over to the other house, get the final votes there, and then they're going to head down to the desk of Governor Jerry Brown.
So Governor Brown will deal with each individually, right? No two are connected.
So there's that. Well, two of the bills, I think, both are essentially dealing with bullet buttons.
Yes.
But other than that, yes. I mean, if you're asking the question of will the governor act on them all as a package and sign them all or veto them all, or whether he'll go through them one by one, certainly the latter, if Jerry Brown's track record is to be believed. The last time he received a slew of gun control bills was the year after the Newtown, Connecticut school shooting. And he signed some and he vetoed some. He definitely went through each of the bills individually and decided for himself which way he would go. We do, however, know that he is either going to act on these bills later today or tomorrow, because we expect him to be leaving on a vacation tomorrow to be gone for quite some time. If he were to leave the state without acting on these bills, which would by then be on his desk, the lieutenant governor, Gavin Newsom, would be able to sign or veto them. And Lieutenant Governor Newsom, as you may recall, Beth, is championing a gun control November ballot initiative. There's a spat between him and Senate leader Kevin DeLeon. In other words, if the governor were to not act on these bills, it would throw this thing into all sorts of political chaos.
Yeah, I think it's appropriate to say that's the politics within the politics that's going on here. And say a little bit more about what the status is of that back and forth between Kevin DeLeon and Gavin Newsom and what we're likely to see in November.
There are a lot of people who are looking at this situation saying, you know what, this is just plain silly. You have two very strong supporters of tougher gun control measures in California, the Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, an announced candidate for governor in 2018, and Democratic State Senate President Pro Tem Kevin DeLeon. It comes down to, on many levels, a question of political ambition and ego, and also a belief of whether the legislature should do everything it could to pass bills, or because the legislature and or governor have not acted on all of these measures in the past, they've acted on some, but not these, that it is up to the voters to let everyone know which way California is going to go. So that's really what you have. You can get into the down and dirty, and it has gotten down and dirty, but that's the big picture.
Is it a situation of one or the other pulling back? And I say that knowing that Gavin Newsom has given no signs of pulling back on his ballot initiative.
I don't think you're going to see either of them pull back. You actually saw Kevin DeLeon amend a bill that would have it supersede a portion of the lieutenant governor's ballot initiative if both pass. And that prompted the Newsom camp to call DeLeon something like shockingly, sickeningly cynical, although I think you could probably use those three words in any order and get the same, I may have the quote not quite right. But so now also it does not appear that Gavin Newsom is going to withdraw his ballot measure because while many parts of it are duplicated by this legislation, not all of it is duplicated. So you're going to have 12 gun control bills going to Governor Jerry Brown's desk. At some point in the next 24 to 36 hours, he's going to sign some, veto some, maybe sign all, veto all, but he'll act on those bills. We'll also have at midnight tonight the November ballot become official with probably 17 different ballot measures, including Gavin Newsom's. And this will not be the end of it. We will see what happens this fall. And we'll also, of course, see what happens when Jerry Brown weighs in on these bills.
So assuming the governor were to sign that particular bill that we're talking about from Kevin De Leon, and then Gavin Newsom's ballot measure passes in November, where does it get worked out eventually?
Probably the courts.
All right. And I will add that lawmakers are heading out on vacation. You mentioned Governor Brown, but they have that impending time limit on their work as well.
They, I believe, are adjourning for summer recess at the end of their work today. They're going to be doing a lot today. There's these gun control measures. Also, the assembly is going to take the final vote on the No Place Like Home homelessness initiative. You may recall, Beth, that was proposed way back in January by Senate Democrats, including the former state Senate leader, Sacramento's new mayor, Daryl Steinberg. And that ran into some roadblocks after it was part of the budget deal when Assembly Republicans, because a two-thirds vote is required for passage, Assembly Republicans worked to insert a couple of their priorities, including changes in how the money would be distributed to get some other counties involved, maybe in some of their more rural areas and their constituencies, but also to insert responses to a scathing state audit of Prop 63, and which is the millionaire's tax that funds mental health programs in California. And that's where this money for addressing homelessness and mental health will come from as part of the No Place Like Home initiative. So that's going to get a final vote today, probably also going to get signed by the governor. And there's just a lot going on at the Capitol.
Back to the state ballot measures for a moment. You mentioned 17, that estimate. It sounds like a lot. It's not the most ever on a ballot, is it, Ben?
No, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but there were more than that, I think a decade and a half or two decades ago. But certainly in recent memory, it's going to be a lot. And it's just going to be overwhelming when you get the ballot, when you voters get the ballot guide this fall. It's going to be awfully thick. It's going to be so thick that counties and the Secretary of State's office have had to ask the governor and legislature for more money in the budget so that they could afford to do all of this printing.
So planning ahead, Ben, that means our newsroom needs at least 2.5 weeks to do
yes.
a story every day on a different
we'll
ballot measure.
We'll have help. We're partnering with other California NPR stations on our California Counts election coverage. Cheap plug, but you put the ball on the tee and handed me a bat.
I did. I had to. You're listening to Capital Public Radio's Capital Bureau Chief Ben Adler. Before we leave the subject of gun control, I do want to add some context to what California is doing. So soon after the mass shooting in Orlando, the first state to really put some legislation on the books was Hawaii. It was just last Thursday that the Democratic governor there signed 3 new gun laws. I don't believe that any of California's parallel the same, one of those being that law enforcement can enroll future and already registered gun owners into the federal criminal watch list. And California isn't dealing with that. But these are two of many states looking at gun laws, California usually landing as the strictest in the country, correct?
Yeah, and I think it's also worth saying that these bills that are getting voted on today here in Sacramento were in the works well before Orlando. They were in the works since the San Bernardino shootings. And also just, I think, California lawmakers each year find new areas in the gun control debate that they believe should be targeted. Sorry, pun not intended, but clearly ended up being one. That's, I think, the main point here is Orlando gave a new urgency, certainly added emotion and volatility to both sides of this debate. But these bills were in the works and were going to be voted on by today, regardless of whether the Orlando shooting occurred.
There's a new poll that's floating around today. It's being reported by Politico that more than half of registered voters in the country support stricter gun laws. That's across the country. Do you happen to know poll information in California in particular, just to know the mood of the public as lawmakers are dealing with this, Ben?
No, not off the top of my head, but this is certainly a much more progressive, more liberal, more blue state than the national average and than many other states in the country. So it's going to be fascinating to see how rank and file California voters decide the gun control initiative, assuming that it does remain on the November ballot. It's going to be a huge battle. You're going to see a lot of money invested from supporters and opponents of gun control. And at the same time that other states are deciding on similar measures. So this issue is going to be one of many on the November ballot. And then, Beth, there's whether to legalize recreational marijuana, there's whether to tax cigarettes, there's whether to extend income taxes on the wealthiest Californians. There are some very interesting and crucial questions that California voters, one by one, will answer this fall.
And one of these topics, or any of these topics on the ballot, Ben, puts the discussion in a different arena than it is when lawmakers are dealing with it in the Capitol. And as I mentioned, the stories that we'll do, many, many media outlets and many hallway conversations, elevator conversations will address these topics in different ways because of it. So in that sense, I think that there's a strong plus in putting these kinds of subjects at this point in time out to voters.
California will not be relevant in the presidential race this fall. We're not electing a governor. There is a U.S. Senate race, but it's these ballot measures that are truly going to dominate conversation heading into November within California.
One more item to note this week before I let you go. Governor Brown signed a new state budget. And in a way, that signing makes for a good trivia question, I think, about line item vetoes, right?
Do we have any Jeopardy music ready to cue up?
Da, da, da,
thank you, Beth.
Da,
okay, so
da, da.
The question is, who is the last governor? I'm sorry. Yeah, what is the last
governor? What's the answer?
the last governor to sign a state budget without issuing any line item vetoes whatsoever was...
The answer might be a previous version of Jerry Brown.
Ding, 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 ding,
yay!
Ding. You got it. 1982, he signed a budget and did not issue any line item vetoes.
Okay. So is that he was very involved in the process leading up to the budget, or his relationship with lawmakers is great, or what's going on?
I think it's a combination, although certainly the governor and Democratic legislative leaders don't see eye to eye on everything. This is the post-Prop 25 world. You've got it only takes a majority vote to pass the state budget. You don't have Republicans involved in negotiations. You don't have these long, drawn-out budget negotiations. And generally speaking, everything is able to get worked out earlier. Now, if you're a Republican or if you're an independent and you feel that Democrats take the budget in a direction that you don't entirely support, that's a terrible thing. If you're a Democrat, and if you are a supporter of seeing a budget get done on time, then maybe you're a fan of this. But what it can lead to is this: no line item vetoes at all. And in previous years, there weren't very many. There were a few, but there were only, you know, a handful, and they weren't for that much money.
Terrific conversation. I'm going to send you off after your workday is done into a holiday with best wishes for fun and safety for you and your family, Ben.
Thank you, Beth, and same to you.
Thanks a lot. That's Ben Adler at the State Capitol, and you can find much more state government news, including the results of the discussions and hearings today at the Capitol and everything that lands on the governor's desk. It's all at capradio.org. Just ahead, we're going to get an update on the Trailhead fire. You're listening to Insight on Capitol Public Radio.